play.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they will see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the always pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing your 2020 RSM Classic, fresh off the Masters. Dustin Johnson getting it done. Some good stuff there at Augusta. You can find me on Twitter at BDEntrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, good. So, we've been looking forward to the Masters. You've been really looking forward to the Masters. did it live up to the hype? What are your thoughts?
Man, I tell you what, the first 3 days, I think, lived up to the hype. But by the time that we hit Saturday evening and it was pretty apparent that nobody was going to chase down DJ, it kind of let a lot of air out of the tires, I feel like. But, I mean, you know, I feel like he also had a once-in-a-lifetime performance, even though, you know, obviously in my lifetime I've seen Tiger shoot 19, Jordan Spieth shoot 19, and now him shoot 20 for the week. But I feel like the early, like, it was fun. It was a lot of fun Thursday, Friday, and even Saturday. But again, when he shoots 65 on Saturday and dusts the field, it's kind of like, man, this is not going to be that much fun to watch tomorrow. And it was still fun to watch, don't get me wrong, but there was no drama. Let me ask you this, and you just let me know what you think about this take. I feel like 95% of the drama was taken out because there was no fans.
Oh, yeah. Like, I saw you tweeting about it on Thursday, where I was working in the morning, so I was kind of watching on my phone because I was trying to get everything done because I knew the rain was going to hit. So I'm like, okay, Friday I want to be home. Like, Friday I want to be home to make it work. So I saw you tweeting out how weird it looked without fans there. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So I get home and I catch like the tail end of Thursdays. I'm like, whoa, like you're seeing spots at golf courses I'd never seen watching it on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it was bizarre. It looked totally different. Like I knew it was Augusta, but there were times it did not, unless you're like in Amen's Corner where it's all kind of in the, there were some holes, like the ninth hole when they're hitting it into the pine straw, but they got the straight shot to the green and it was just wide open everywhere.
Yeah.
I was like, what the heck is this?
Yeah.
So I'm with you. Yeah. It was different. It makes you wonder if the pressure is there. Do we see the kind of struggles DJ has in round four of a major? Like, do these things happen?
I'm with
you.
Who
knows? Who knows?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like, you know, when somebody ahead of him and there wasn't really the drama. Nobody was really chasing him down. I mean, it looked a little bit on Sunday when he bogeyed, I guess, what was it? He bogeyed five and maybe four and five. Yeah. Four
on
and
Sunday?
Five.
Yeah.
No, no. Yeah. Well, he parred two. And then whatever. So it looked like maybe potentially there was going to be some drama there. But, you know, I mean, it just wasn't to be. But I do feel like if there was fans there that it would have been, I don't know, man. It's tough. I hope they have them back. And assuming they have this in the fall, and I've already heard rumblings that they're talking about moving back to November again. So
we'll from April to November?
Yeah.
Well, it's probably because they want to make sure there's fans.
Yeah, I mean, I know they do. I 100%. You know, I mean, that's a huge part about Augusta, and you know, obviously
the tickets cost, my God,
they make a lot of money that week. They make a lot of money that week.
Yeah.
And they don't really, do they need it? No, but no. I mean, you know, why would you not want to make
business
money off
of something? Business, right?
You're right. That's exactly right. So yeah, I mean, I really thought that the funnest part of the whole entire week was, I mean, I hate to say it, watching Bryson struggle, man.
Dude, like that was, that was amazing. And then after 2 days, it's, oh, I'm not feeling well. I'm a little under the, like, you know, like, okay, dude. Okay. Whatever you say, man. Like, you're hitting it like crap. Let's just be real about it. Like, you got cocky and you got caught. Let's just fess up, and you didn't have what you thought you had this week.
Well, you know, he hit, you know, on his second hole, which was 11, he teed off early Friday it turned into like mid morning after all the rain and all this shit. But on 11, he hit, I swear that he hit a drive. I've never seen that one that far left, and somehow it stayed in. I really don't understand how it stayed in. Then on 13, that same round, he hits it into the bushes and then has to hit a provisional, and that goes in the water. Well, he finds his ball in the middle of a fucking bush, how, I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And, you know, I'm not saying he was dropping balls, but he got some lucky breaks as far as that goes. And it could have been a lot worse, and he really probably shouldn't have made the weekend, because that ball in 11, I mean, you can go watch it on the app. Let's talk about the app here in a second. But, I mean, to me, that flew everything. I don't know how it hit a tree and knocked it straight down and it stayed in play. And Rory did the same thing. Mm-hmm. It was bizarre. But and they lost that ball on three down the left side there that plugged, and then they found it a little bit later and brought it to him.
Brought it to one of the tee box on the next hole.
And he kind of acted like, you know, that was a little bit fishy in his mind. Like, they just find it as soon as I'm leaving the hole. Like, well, I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, you know, that's probably not a lost ball if there's fans there, because there's people sitting there watching and they direct them right to where it's at.
No, but it made it feel like around where I play, where I'm like driving around half the time looking for my ball, going, you know, if I had a spotter around here, I could find it. I know it's right here. I know it's here.
That's 100% correct, dude. It's 100% correct. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was a lot. I mean, like, again, I hate to throw bad energy, but, you know, that was a lot of fun to just kind of watch him struggle, because he comes out and he says it's a par 67 and that, you know, and everybody's all over him for him being the favorite. He's down to 8.5 to 1, and he's more favored than Dustin Johnson and Rory and these guys who have played well in the past at Augusta. It was just one of those types of, I feel like it was kind of karma for him. And, you know, I think it'll be interesting when we come back, and we'll talk about it in April, but I'm assuming we have it in April, but it was a fun week, man.
It was fun to have it. You didn't have like the par three, and you didn't have all that kind of stuff, but it still was, you could still knew it was the Masters. You still knew it was Augusta. Like, there's a lot of pride in it. And like watching DJ choke up afterwards, like, I love stuff like that in sports. I absolutely love it. Like, cause you know, there's these guys that's, you know, DJ just never seemed like he cares. Like, he's just out there doing things.
Yeah.
But then you see stuff like that, and then, you know, anybody that's played anything competitively, like, you can understand what he's thinking. Like, okay, 100%. I get it now. That's pretty freaking awesome. Like, I love moments like that.
Especially since he's a Southern boy. I mean, he's, you know, from, I think he's from South Carolina, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, right next door.
He knows how big the Masters is.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's awesome. I thought it was pretty funny watching Rory round one looking like he wanted to be like Bryson. Like, they were, like you said, the angles he was taking, the speeds on his club swing. And then he comes and throws three great rounds out there afterwards. And I think Justin Ray or whatever was tweeting out that it's been like a story for him in the majors. First round, just tank job. Next three rounds are amazing. So when he figures it out, one of these tournaments, he might run away with like DJ did. So that'll be fun to watch. Rahm's quotes after the Thursday and Friday rounds with Bryson were some of the funniest, not direct shots at Bryson, but pretty darn direct shots at Bryson. Like, it was pretty cool stuff there too. So I had a lot of fun with it. You know, Cam Smith, you see somebody's answer until he fell apart on Sunday. So you saw some young guys do well, some first timers do well, but then the big guys, you know, we talked course history with Kevin last week. If you played course history, you were sitting pretty for most of this tournament.
You ain't joking, dude. You are not joking at all.
Yeah, so it was fun. We could probably sit and talk about it for a long, long time. But
let me ask you one more question. Did you see the Masters update from Chris Vernon?
Oh, dude, that guy. Part of me wants him to do it for like every round of golf, but then it might not make it as special. At least every major, like, that needs to happen. That is, or at least do it after every cut, like the Friday afternoon. Like, this guy went home because he trunk slammed or something. Give me that. That was electric into my veins. Oh
God, dude, that was. I mean, that was. It went like it was on. It was on around the horn today. They were talking about. Talking about him. I mean, that's how big he got there. So, never heard of that guy, but apparently
I saw you retweet him, and I looked at it every day. I went back to look for him. I was like, that is amazing.
I'll never not think of some of these guys, and, you know, like Tony Finau, where he be now. So if you haven't seen it, it's at Chris Vernon show, tweets from Thursday and Friday. Go back and check it out if you haven't seen him.
He was electric. Oh, one last thing. I'll go here. What'd you think of College Game Day at Augusta?
I didn't even watch it.
Okay. I didn't. Yeah. I watched bits and pieces. I saw more just footage on Twitter watching that stuff, but
it was interesting. I turned around on, you know, like
they were playing.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was, the week was just jacked up from the beginning because of the fact that, the rain came in, and then just the light. They didn't have enough. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think if they do it again, I would love to see it done like in September. Yeah. Would be all right too, but either month.
You need the daylight, yes.
You definitely got to have the daylight.
Yeah, but then, and then it could come back to not doing split tees. You could bring it back to a little more Augusta feel to it. Right. I didn't mind the split tees. I was fine with it, but
I mean, it just made things happen fast and furious, right? Because like if you're keeping up with
like on Thursday and stuff, 100%. It was just chaos.
Yes, it was. Pure chaos. It was. I agree.
So that part was fun.
Busy at work, but still, man, it was fun to just follow it all and keep up with it. And then ESPN did a hell of a job too, I think, showing all the golf whenever they were supposed to, and then adding the coverage even when they didn't have to on you know Friday morning and Saturday morning. They didn't have to come back on and show the finals, you know, rounds, the final bit of those rounds, and they did. So,
well, and then lastly, I'll give CBS credit this time around. I think ESPN might have pushed them a bit because their coverage was better than usual, a lot more golf shots than usual out there on the weekend. I'll give them that much. But that golf app, I when I was working, I was watching religiously, wanting to know why Matthew Fitzpatrick bogeyed a hole. So I watched that. What's Tony Finau? Tony Finau's in the trees again. Outstanding. How'd he do it? Boom, right like that. Like it was like everyone's going off on Cam Smith's shot. I tell my wife, hey, I got to check something real quick. Watch Cam Smith. Like it was the coolest thing that you never can do any other time. Why can't we have this technology? It was amazing. We need that.
I saw obviously a lot of non-golf people tweeting about that. I think on the PGA Tour, it would be really difficult to do it. But could they make it done? I think if they put an investment into it and then also offered it like
hey, PGA yes, Tour I'll pay Live, you.
Yeah.
I'll will subscribe to that.
Yeah, $10 a month or whatever. Yeah, no, there'd be plenty of people. I mean,
take your DraftKings numbers of who plays PGA and take 90% of that will pay you for your service.
For sure. Yeah.
Pretty simple.
I'm with you.
So, yeah, that'd be pretty sweet. But it'd be tough this week at Sea Island because there's two golf courses. So that would be tricky because we can't even get Shot Tracker on one of them. So let alone cameras would be
right.
a trip. So that takes us to the RSM Classic. It's a fun one, a much more loaded field than normal, back to T65 and ties going into the weekend. But what do you have for past event history for the RSM Classic?
Last year, Tyler Duncan was your winner at 19 under in a playoff over Webb Simpson. The year before, which was 2018, Charles Howell won 19 under playoff over Patrick Rogers. Austin Cook was the 2017 champion, 21 under, four shots over J.J. Spahn. Mackenzie Hughes won in 2016, Kisner in 2015. That's pretty much about all you really need to know.
Yeah, it's going to be the whole Sea Island George Boy narrative. You hear it all the time with this course. It hasn't been as dominant as it in recent years as it was back in the day. It used to be like, yes, Davis Love helped design the Plantation course. He always plays well. Kisner, the Georgia Boy, Stu Sink. There's a long list of Georgia Boys here. Harmon and others, and I like a lot of them. Don't get me wrong. We'll get into them. Like they fit this course well. But what you're looking at here is you got the Plantation course, which – each grouping will play one either Thursday or Friday. Then the Seaside course, which will play one of Thursday or Friday. And if you make it to the weekend, both rounds on the weekend are at the Seaside course. So we'll start at the Plantation course, par 72, a little over 7,000 yards. So for keeping track, it's a short par 72. All the par fives are very reachable. The very wide greens, kind of more tree-lined greens here. It's more inland, large greens. Davis Love remodeled them, so the greens are more undulating. Some say a little difficult, but still, it's a birdie fest. Lots of low scoring. Biggest thing with Plantation course is there's water on like 11 holes. So if you still have a lot of landing area, let's not get wrong. But if you have a couple wayward shots, it's going to cost you. But you should go pretty low at this course. If your guys aren't going low on Plantation on Thursday, start looking at the weekend slate. That's what I'll suggest to you. Like that's my best suggestion. The other course, the Seaside course. This is a par 70, a little over 7,000 yards as well. So it's not a 72, but a par 70. So only two par fives on this course. Both gettable. One's much more gettable than the other on the back nine. I believe it's 15. Much more gettable than on the front. A lot of eagles on that par five. The greens are rather large. They're TIFF Bermuda greens. Very grainy is what the guys say. So think Bermuda for the most part. Like looking at Fancher, it didn't say TIFF Bermuda. It says Bermuda. But very grainy greens, about 11 on the stimp. So they're very friendly, except they a lot of movements. They say even within 10 feet, they're not gimmies like most of these guys are used to. So keep an eye on that. But at the same time, like I said, they're the fifth toughest greens on tour to putt on. Yet this is still a birdie fest because the greens are so large, the fairways are so large. These guys can stick it rather close. It's a link style course. The biggest defense of this golf course is the wind because it's on the water on the Atlantic Ocean. So if it's not windy, this is going to be a field day for the boys. If it's a little windy, it gets interesting. With all that being said, Jesse, what key stats are you looking at?
I mean, a lot of approach, birdie or better, obviously, is huge here. But just obviously going off the scores and what you were talking about, with the, especially the easier of the two courses. But basically, you just got to have a good, you know, tee degree game and, you know, get lucky, I guess, with the putter, kind of like somebody like Tyler Duncan last year, who typically has a good tee degree game and can make birdies in bunches, but can also make a shit ton of bogeys.
Yeah. No, that's the deal is it's one of those tournaments where we usually say, like, a DraftKings scoring wise, okay, it's great if your guy, you know, bogeys once in a while, but birdies like crazy like Tony Finau because he'll make up for it. But here it's like you need so many birdies without the bogeys. It's, we're back to a birdie fest, like the Bermudas and the Safeways and the Sandersons. We're back to you need to go low. I guess it's going to be one of those that needs to happen. So let's look at fanciersports.com. Promo code ALWAYSPRESS gets you 20% off the package of your choice. Guys coming in good current form in the last 10 events, DraftKings scoring-wise in this field. And it's a little more top-heavy than usual, but Webb Simpson is leading the way, and he's played very well at this tournament as well. Russell Henley, Sebastian Munoz, Harris English, Denny McCarthy, Sam Burns near the top on that one. We look at the last 10 on courses, set par 77,000 to 7,200 yards. So the Seaside course, Webb Simpson. Henrik Stenson comes up here. Sungjae, Jason Day, Fleetwood, Matt Kuchar, RCB. When you look at the last 10 on Bermuda in this event, Webb Simpson leads the way again, followed by, well, I'm not going to count him because it's one tournament, but Matthew Fitzpatrick is second, Noren, Cam Davis, Tyrell Hatton, and Harris English. Last but not least, the last five events at this course or at this tournament for DK scoring, Austin Cook leads the way, followed by T-Dunks, Webb Simpson, and David Hearn, a discount David Hearn, cracks the list there. All right. Without further ado, let's get into the DK picks for this week. 10K and above, Webb Simpson, $11,200. Sungjae off a very strong weekend at Augusta at 11,000. Fleetwood 10-7, Hatton 10-4 off the missed cut at Augusta. And then Russell Henley at 10-1. So what are you seeing in the 10K range?
That's quite the price on Russell Henley there with these other guys. Obviously, Webb, 11-2, very playable. Finished second here last year. Really good showing at the Masters. You know, he shot, I don't know what exactly under, but he finished 10th. Hasn't finished outside the top 20 since the PGA Championship back in August. Obviously, you need to win really at this price or the winner on your team at least. But I could see him kind of coming in a little bit lower owned, just because of the huge price on him this week. Now, the last time he was 11,000 was the or above was the Shriners. He was 21%, 22% there. So keep that in mind. I mean, you know, as safe a play, I guess, as you really could imagine at this golf course. Sungjae, I kind of worry about a little bit just coming off the second place finish. You know, his game, I didn't see that coming last week. Did you? I mean, did you?
No, not that high of a finish.
I played him some because I felt like he was going to be low owned, and he was. But and the price was really good at 7,500 last week, but at 10,000, I don't know, or 11,000, excuse me. I don't know about Tommy either. I'm just going to buzz past him. Hatton missed the cut at the Masters, and I don't know if you saw or not, but the Tour Junkies, their members at Champions Retreat. And he actually on Saturday went out and played their golf course behind them.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not see that.
Obviously, he knew somebody or whatever, got invited to come over there, and he played. And so he was playing and obviously not very happy about the fact that he missed the cut, and he wasn't even really that close. He shot three over for the week. I wasn't on him last week. But I feel like that makes him an interesting play this week. Russell Henley at 10,000? I mean, you know, 10,000, you know, if he was in the 8K range, maybe, but He's got some good course history here. Obviously, he did miss the cut last year. What did do you have? What he finished in 2018? Or I don't have anything for 2018 for anybody.
Russell Henley in 2018. What I have here for Henley? Why can't I read? Oh, there we go. Miscut, didn't play in 18, then 10th, 6th, 4th, 65th.
Gotcha. That's weird. It's just blank for 18. I don't know what happened that year, but for everybody. Anyways, the guys that I like, Webb Simpson, Tyrrell Hatton. I think I just have a feeling about Hatton this week and him being pissed off about that miscut last week and coming back and playing really well because he was playing pretty well going into the Masters. I didn't like him last week just because – I don't know. He's never traditionally played well at Augusta, but he's never played here. So obviously I don't know how well he plays here, but he had a full weekend. Apparently was playing golf. So
that's always good. Keep him playing. But I'm with you. Webb at 11-2, leading off the fan share stuff. He's like leading every category, 10th at the Masters, 17th, 13th, 8th, 17th, 8th in his last four events prior to the Masters on tour, second and third here. He's made every cut except the withdrawal in 2018. Like, he's been outstanding at this golf course. So if you want to play Webb, go for it. It's going to be chalk most likely because there's a lot of value this week, but I could see it. Hatton, I don't mind either. Henley's interesting. I get your thoughts on the pricing, but we're going to see some other weird pricing this week. He is priced high, but it's a lot of recent form. And then, you know, the miscut, like prior to that 10th, 6th, and 4th year, 29th 2 weeks ago, and then a 4th and a 3rd and a 27th. So ball striking, shorter golf course. Really favors a guy like Russell Henley. So I could see it as a GPP play because he should come in extremely low owned. And I find it to be very, very interesting. Now, can he win this thing? Maybe. I doubt it. But can he give you a top 10 with maybe top 5 upside? Yeah. And so that's where I'm intrigued with Russ Henley. But yeah, I get 10-1 is a bit steep for the guy. All right, $9,000 range. You got Fitzpatrick at 99, English 97. J-Day off a miscut at 95, Oosty 93, Lowry 92, Neiman, assuming he's cleared from COVID. I was surprised to see his name here. I guess we'll have to sit and wait on that. He's 91. And then talk about a price bump, Jesse. Sebastian Munoz up to $9,000. But, hey, he checks a lot of the fan share boxes. He played well here last year. I guess it was the week after his dub last year, if I remember correctly. It could be wrong. But he's playing some great golf. So what do you have in this 9K range?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to start at the bottom there with Sebastian Munoz. He had a pretty good week last week. He finished terribly. He shot 3 over on Sunday, kind of fell back a little bit, tonight finished 19th, but I still think that's a very strong showing for him, especially at 6,700. Last year, this was off a miscut at the Mayakoba for him where he finished third. So okay. His win was at Sanderson's Farms earlier in the fall. It was back in September. But yeah, I mean, he finished third here last year. I like Munoz a lot at 9,000. The other guys, Louis, at 93, I felt like he played pretty well last week. He had one bad round, which was the Saturday round, fell back, finished 23rd. He's played here one time in 2011. He finished fourth. He's a guy who though at these kind of not well at any non-major to me is a risk of a WD. So he's definitely more GPP play. If Neiman plays, I love Neiman. I mean, 17th, 6th, 13th in his last three starts. He's never played here, but at least I don't think so. I've got 2018 listed here, but there's nothing listed at all. So do you have anything for Neiman?
Yeah, let me see. Ever? I'm scrolling to the ends. He played 65th, it says 2019. I think this thing's off because there's no way they played 2020 yet. Oh, he's counted the 2020 season.
Yeah, so, 2019.
Yeah, so 65th.
Okay, so one appearance here and he finished 65th. But I like him as far as assuming he plays. That's the kind of the question is form coming in is good. So, yep, that's it.
Yeah, no, we're on the same page. I love Munoz at 9K. It's a price bump, but you're talking about birdie fest. That's what this guy does. Like, I'm a big fan of what he can do here. And again, third place last year gives me a lot to like with Sebastian at 9K. And I love Neiman as well. I'd be surprised if he plays, but maybe, you know, he got COVID and he's done his 2 weeks because of the timing. I don't know. So Neiman at 91 is very intriguing at this price, but coming in great form, as you mentioned. So I could see that. I like Usti at 93, a ton of risk there as always, like you stated about events that aren't majors basically. And then the other guy, you know, Henley was interesting at 10-1. I think Harris English at 97 is also one that kind of stands out as a little bit of a high price, but could pay off big time. Miscut here last year. The course history is not great. Miscut 46th, miscut 25th, miscut 27th, 15th. So not ideal, but recent form has been outstanding for Harris English. A good tee to green player. So if he's hitting his fairways, which he should here, should give him a lot to do. It's just a matter of can he get that putter going. Always a question mark, but he did pop on a couple of those fan share pages. So he, these kind of courses fit him very, very well. And that's something to keep in mind at $9,700 with Mr. Harris English. But I think Munoz is the, well, when we recap, I think that's kind of be, might be a unanimous for us on that one. 8K range now. You got the likes of Corey Connors up to $8,900. Big Friday for Corey to get him into the weekend and finish very strong at Augusta. Fratelli, who had a great week at Augusta at 88. Kokrak, who missed the cut and it was chalk for some reason at 87. Kisner missed the cut as well because I don't know what happened to him. 86. Harmon, 85. Rose, 84, which seems insanely mispriced in this field. Poulter at 83. Hal, 82. Mackenzie Hughes, 81. And Doc Redman, only 8K, surprises me as well. And then ZJ at 8,000. So I mentioned earlier, a lot of weird pricing, like Henley and English may be a little weird, but there's some names in this range that seem way underpriced. So what are you looking at here?
Yeah, there's definitely is. I mean, you look at Rose, like you're going to have an $8,400 Rose.
What over under, like Civ, okay, it won't be up to 60 unless it's cash, but what, 35% ownership?
I mean, it could be, very well could be. Depends on how many people are paying attention, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, last week he's $7,700. He's 13% owned. I mean, the form coming in, 23rd at the Masters, 17th, Zozo, 52nd, CJ Cup. But wasn't it just a year ago he was the number one player in the world, right?
Yeah, it wasn't too long ago. Then he decided to change golf clubs.
Or maybe 2 years ago, I guess, maybe now. I don't know. Anyways, it wasn't that long ago that he was the number one player in the world. Now he's 8,400 at the RSM Classic. Kind of confusing to me. Yeah, I'm with you on dude Kokrak. Going into it, Kokrak's a guy who obviously if the ball striking is on, you know, he doesn't have to make as many putts, but you have to have a good short game around Augusta because you're going to miss greens and they're so tricky and they're so difficult. He even hit 75% of his greens last week and had 33 putts per round. I mean, it's not good. I'm not going to Kokrak. I do like Kisner though, 8,600. I think he's interesting. I know he missed a cut here last year. He missed a cut at Augusta. But I feel like this will set up a little bit better for him as far as he's a past winner here. He's got a couple top fives besides that. And
when he makes the cut, he finishes high here.
Right, right, right. And, you know, he's kind of coming off the miscut, should play better this week. Must say coming off the miscut last year, then also coming off the miscut last week. The double miscut. Brian Harmon, 85. He's been playing pretty well, too. 14th here last year, fourth in 2017. A couple missed cuts before that, but basically has not missed a cut since the 3M Open back in July. Seems like a decently safe play. Poulter at 8,300 finished 36th here in his only appearance in 2016. 25th at Augusta last week, 12th at CJ Cup, but a couple European Tour events, finished top 10 in both of those. So I think that's kind of a weird price on him too, although I don't know that I'd price him up much more than that. And then last but not least, I know I've named half the damn range at this point, but Mackenzie Hughes at 8,100, past winner here. And this guy, I mean, look at his recent finishes. 7th in Houston, Zozo 41st, very strong field. CJ Cup, strong field, 65th. Corrales Punta Canta, Dominican Republic, he finished 3rd. Did have a miscut at the U.S. Open. I mean, you know, in the big-time events, not a great play. In these types of events, you know, especially a place where he's won before, I like that at 8,100 quite a bit.
Especially in an event where putting might be difficult. Like they say, it's pretty challenging and he sucks at putting, but gets lucky. A lot of people say that means they're all putting at his level. So that's a pretty good thing as well. But this range is loaded. Like I started I write down the guys I like in each range. And next thing I knew, I'm like, okay, that's pretty much the entire range. So that's pretty crazy. But Corey Connors, good weekend. Got another guy. Tita Green games, outstanding. Can he putt? That's a question. I think he still makes for a very intriguing play this week. I love Kisner, Georgia boy. Like we said, he finishes when he plays here and makes the cut, finishes well. You want Kis on smaller golf courses, shorter golf courses. That's what both these are. So this plays well into his game, a game where like the average driving distance in last year was like 285 yards. So now Kisner is playing with everybody.
Yeah.
And that makes a big, big difference. So I like Kiz at 86. I love Brian Harman at 85. Big fan of Brian Harman this week. Rose and Poulter, both kind of mispriced. Like Poulter, I guess, okay, sure. Rose, way mispriced. So you can go there. Like in a cash game, I have no problem going Kisner, Harman, Rose, and Poulter to start things out. Zero problem at all. I think you could do that real comfortably and go that direction, given it's going to be chalky. But these four guys, I like them a lot to at least make the cut this week. Matt Hughes, I like. And then Doc Redman, I think, is a good GPP play at $8,000. A guy we've seen him go off the rails from time to time. But when it comes to going low and competing in a birdie fest, Doc's right there. Like he, in recent weeks, he was a runner up. I believe it wasn't Punta Cana. Was it Punta Cana? It might have been Punta Cana. But he played really, really well there. He finished 61st and 4th in his last two events. He finished 23rd here last year. So 8K, I got no problem going to Doc. This you can make arguments for a lot of these guys. If you want just a made cut from Zach Johnson, sure. I don't think he's going to contend, but made cut, sure. Same with CH3. Fratelli coming off a heater, like you could really go through most of this range. But I kind of want to stay in that Kisner, Harman, Rose, Poulter range for the most part. But you can go other places if you so choose. $7,500 to $7,900, Gooch, Pan, Todd, Westwood, Burns, McCarthy, Wallace, Noren, Straka, Cook, Reavy, Wiesberger, Sullivan. What are you liking in this range?
Start close to the top there, or at the top. CT Pan, 7,900. The only two starts I have for him are 2017 and 16, where he finished 13th and 6th at this tournament. And he's coming off a really good showing at the Masters. He had one bad round on Saturday, shot two over. Other than that, he was under par, finished 7th for the tournament. So 7,900, I like him quite a bit. McCarthy at 77, finished 8th here last year. Bunch of made cuts in a row, 5 in a row. 38th, you know, his last time out, which was the Houston Open, 4th the week before that in Bermuda. Sam Burns at 7,700. Don't have any starts for him here. 7th his last time out, so I think he's fine. But I would much rather have CT or Denny McCarthy.
Yeah, for me in this range, like Taylor Gooch, 23rd here last year after two missed cuts in a row. Finished 4th 2 weeks ago, 4th, 35th, and 8th in his last three events. So a guy that's played better in these smaller fields, good finish here last year. I think you can get him in a GPP at some lower ownership at 79, so I don't mind him. Brendan Todd, I am really curious. 7,800 bucks, shorter golf course. We know Todd's not the longest hitter, but keeps it in the fairway for the most part. Tee to green game's outstanding. It's been a little rocky the last few weeks, obviously, when it comes to Brendan Todd. Missed the cut at Augusta. Missed the cut in an event prior to that, 47-52 at the Zozo and CJ Cup. So, like, not playing the best of golf right now. Prior to that was really strong, finished 4th there last year. He's made 5 straight cuts at this event. I think Todd at 78 is an interesting one, hopefully coming in a little lower owned than if this happened like 2 months ago, he'd be chalkier than chalk. I think this could be an intriguing one with Todd at 78. I like Burns quite a bit at 77. And then McCarthy I love. I've been playing Denny pretty much everywhere, especially if you're – it's going to be a tough putting week, best putter on tour. Like, just that's big for Denny McCarthy. I think the average – I could have mentioned it in the course preview – the average putts per hole on this course, because the greens are so tricky, is almost 1.7 putts per hole. So a lot of two-putting is what's happening here. And McCarthy, I'm pretty sure, could two-putt probably would better than anybody out there. So if you're looking for guys to make the cut, then possibly contend. McCarthy at 77 is pretty darn strong. What do you like, 7,000 to 7,400?
I think Cooch is fine at 7,400. I know he missed the cut last week, and his course history is not great, but, you know, he started under par and then shot 75 last week. I don't know what happened to him. Missed cut, 29th missed cut in his last three starts, but he does have some better finishes if you go further back than that. His game's in a weird spot. Be a GPP play only, obviously, at 7,400 there. Tringali at 72, I think he's fine. He rates out pretty well in the old model here. Will Gordon, 7,000. I got a bunch of guys here at 7,000. Finished 10th here last year. Two straight made cuts for him. Two straight top 40s. Scott Piercy at 7,000 as well. Another guy who made a couple – his last two cuts here. So 2014 and 2013, he made the cut. He did miss the cut in 11. 3 out of 4 years that he's played here, he's made the cut. Made 4 in a row on tour. Tyler Duncan, past winner last year, $7,000. Coming off 2 straight missed cuts. Basically, his opening rounds have just been terrible. But He played decent at the Zozo and in the CJ. I don't know. He's just been an up and down guy. He's a complete GPP play only. But again, the past winter here, the last time they played this golf course, $7,000. And then Neesmith at $7,000 as well. He finished 14th here last year. Come off a miscut at the Houston Open. Had a terrible opening round. But before that, he finished 8th, 17th, and 41st in his three previous starts before that. So I like Neesmith quite a bit coming back here at $7,000.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of value in this field. We haven't got the 6K range where you can make some arguments, but there's a lot in this low 7. I think a couple good GPP-type plays, Joel Dahman, HV3, two guys we know that can go really low, coming in some weird form. Dahman missed the cut here last year, but then made the previous two. 8th place of the CJ, made 3 straight cuts before his little break here. And then you have HV3, who he's from Carolina, close to Georgia, not obviously Georgia, but... didn't play here last year, but then 23rd and 68th in his other two appearances. He finished 15th 2 weeks ago, missed cut 13th. A guy we know that can go really low as well. So I think they're both interesting GPP plays that, looking at pricing in this field, they should be higher, in my opinion, compared to some other guys that are priced where they are. So they surprised me at 74. JT Poston, a local boy, at 73. He has my attention. Didn't make the cut at Augusta. If anybody follows his caddy, Fleener, on Twitter, first-class Twitter follow. He had a Harry Higgs shirt under his vest one day and a Brooks and Dunn shirt a different day, and he was tweeting about it. It was awesome. Big fan of this guy. I've been following him for a while. He's a character. But Poston at 73 has my attention. Stugout at 73, more so for cash than GPPs, because I know he's been going low of late. I still don't – like, I'm not in love with him to go low enough type thing. But, hey, 4th a couple weeks ago, he's got a W on the season. He's made all but 2 cuts at this event over the last 5 or 6 years. So Stugo at 73, McNeely at 73. We're talking about a guy that can go low but be tilting, so GPP only, but can definitely hit the birdie fest if things are right. Finished 53rd here last year in his first attempt, but 20th and 21st in his last two events. So Mav at 73. Will Gordon, Ken Ventura, when you're talking about guys that could score a bunch, especially Eagles, Ken Ventura is there at 7,000. Kind of surprised by his price as well. You mentioned Adam Long. The last guy I'll mention, and strictly GPP, but he's got a lot of upside at this event, and that's Cam Tringali, 20th last year. Missed cut, 27th, 22nd, 27th. So when he makes the cut, he's in the 20s. He had a 29th 2 weeks ago, missed cut, 19th, 37th in his previous two events after the missed cut. So it's a risky play, but he's a guy that can go kind of low as well. So lots of guys in this range. This is one of those ranges. If you want to join the Slack chat, which is free, you can ask us more questions to kind of narrow down your player pool, and we'll narrow it down again when we recap. But there's a lot of angles to go here in your GPPs. You play ownership games, and there's a couple that stand out more cash than GPP. So we named a lot of them off, but they're for reasons because they are in play. But don't be surprised if they missed the cut, too. 6K range. Lots of names down here, starting with your boy Higgs. But what do you like down here?
Yeah, Higgs, definitely playable, 6,900. James Hahn. Mm-hmm. Much better price on him this time.
Much better. He kind of like lived with this one a little more.
Yeah, 6,900. Obviously, he made the cut at the Houston Open, finished 50th. But before that, he had 3 straight top 10s. His course history is okay. I mean, missed cut, 17th, 48th. So the missed cut was last year. The 17th and 48th were 2014 and 2013, so a while back. Doug Gim at 67, I think he's fine. John Huh at 66, just guys that kind of rate out from the model perspective. DJ Trahan, Hank Lebioda at 64, finished 30th here last year, coming off a 16th at the Bermuda, 44th at the Sandersons. Dominican Republic, he was 21st. Didn't miss the cut the Safeway, but it's at 6,400. I feel like that's quite a steal on him. KH Lee at 6,200. If you're way down here, finished 5th here last year. Did miss the cut at the Houston Open, and that's all I got.
You mentioned some of them. Higgs I like, obviously. Hahn's interesting. I like Doug Gim as well, coming in playing good. We played him lately and been running that hot streak. When you look at Gim, he finished 65th here last year, but 14th and 23rd in his last two events. Getting that at his price point of 67 is nice. I think Chris Kirk's interesting. I know that's a guy you've been riding with of late, but when you look at Chris Kirk, course history, there's a lot of good course history guys down here. Missed cut last year at 46th, 4th, missed cut 18th, 4th, 1st, 64th, missed cut 15th. So most of the time when he makes the cut, he's finishing rather well, especially for $6,700. He's made two straight cuts on tour. So he's a guy to keep in mind. Tom Hoge, a guy I've been riding a lot here the last few weeks. He did miss the cut the last time out for us, which was a big, big bummer. But prior to that, he made like six or seven straight cuts. And he missed the cut here last year, but 37th, 25th, missed cut 9th, 32nd. So he's a guy in the GPP you can look at. I mentioned him earlier on FanShare. This is where course history gets real fun. David Hearn, comes into the event, missed cut 8th, missed cut 33rd, 14th. We know he can get birdies, but at the old RSM here, 30th, 15th, 17th, 9th, 40th, 51st, 44th, has not missed a cut at the RSM, and he has $6,600. You mentioned Johnny Hub. Another guy I'll mention is Ryan Armour, 23rd, 15th, 37th, 38th, 61st, his last four events here. Recent form is very sketchy, though. Just keep that in mind, but course history, and we've seen that with Ryan Armour in the past. When he likes a course, no matter how well he's playing, usually shows up there. Not always, but usually for 6,600, it's an interesting one to look at down here. I'm going to mention a few more here. Troy Merritt, he's coming in really good form actually for this price range. 32nd, 40th, 43rd. He's made three straight cuts here as well. Kyle Stanley's down here, which always gets my attention just when you look at a ball strikers. When the fairways are as wide as they are, you can get to the greens. He's got my attention at 6,500. Fabian Gomez made all three straight cuts here to come in at 23rd last year. He's 6,400. Then the other two, Rob Oppenheim, I will always ride with in GPPs if I want to take some darts at 63 because he's a birdie machine, also can tilt your face off. But when he gets going, he can go low, low, low. So $6,300, he's like a legit guy that could top 20 at $6,300. So he's there. And the last guy is another course history guy. I'm not saying you have to play him, but Scott Brown, 24, 2 weeks ago, finished 14th here last year, also has an 18th and a fourth year with a couple missed cuts. So he's a guy that does go low at this event from time to time. But lots of guys down here if you can go super low. I don't plan on going super low, though. So keep that in mind. All right, recapping things, Jesse. Top play 10K and above.
I mean, not named Webb Simpson.
Yes, good call.
Tyrell, I'm going to say Hatton.
I'm going to go Russ Henley, and it might be complete fool's gold on my part, but I'm going to go Russ Henley. 9K range, who's your top play not named Sebastian Munoz?
That's fucked up.
Well, we're both going to take him, so let's go somewhere else.
I mean, Neiman, if he plays, I like Neiman.
I like Neiman, too. I'll go Usti. And so Usti's almost as risky as Neiman, except Neiman will know before he tees off. Yes. 8K range, give me two.
Rose and Hughes.
I'll go Harmon and Kisner. I love Rose, though. Like, it's hard not to play Rose. That's really tough, which means he's probably going to miss the cut because everyone's going to play him. So yeah. That's tilting as all hell. 7,500 and above, who's your top play?
CT Pam.
I'm going to go Brendan Todd. I just have a weird feeling about him this week. Form hasn't been great. Plays well here, shorter course, keep it in the fairway like he can. I'm intrigued by Todd at $7,800. 7,000 to 7,400, who's your top play?
Will Gordon.
Okay, I can dig that. I'm going to go HV3. I think we get a weekend from HV3 here. And then the 6K range, who are your top two plays?
Higgs and Lebiota.
I'm going to go with Hearn and... I'm going to go Chris Kirk. It was between Kirk and Gim. But I'm going to go Hearn. There's lots of – actually, like, I'm going to make at least one Stars and Scrubs. I'm like, well, actually, I've been cascading lately, and I've been liking that. So I might not do a Stars and Scrub. We'll see. But you could. You could easily put Webb and a couple guys up there and drop down and see what happens. Because when Jesse did read past event winners, a lot of those guys were not the high-priced targets. Let's just put it that way.
No.
So keep that in mind. We've seen that a lot in the fall. A lot of these birdie fests, you get some of these old – closer Corn Ferry guys and stuff that show up and make some noise. Speaking of which, if you're starting a GPP lineup out, Jesse, who are three guys you're starting your GPP lineup out with?
You know, GPP wise, I thought we were starting with cash. Munoz, and then DJ Trahan, and then Lebiota. So that's going to leave you plenty to do whatever the fuck you want to do.
I was going to go, yeah, I got Munoz. I put Rose there, which probably be chalky, but I just can't not sleep with that. And then Sam Burns is another guy. Now, cash. Cash usually comes first. I did screw that up. Who are your three guys in cash?
Yeah, I mean, now he kind of messed up. Poulter, Rose, and Hughes.
Yeah, Harmon, Poulter, Rose, Kisner. There's four. Like literally, you can do those and do.
Yeah, do the AK range. It's gonna be so chalky.
Yeah, it's ridiculously chalky. It's like if you make a GPP lineup out without an 8K player, you might have one of the most unique lineups on the planet.
You might. You very well might. So
something to think about there. Who do you got picking winning this thing?
That's a great question. I should have had the odds pulled up. You got any odds pulled up?
Yeah, I got Bovada up right now. Rose is 40-1. That's good.
I mean,
see Rose is 40-1 at 84. Brendan Todd's 50-1 at 7,800 bucks. Like that, and then Redmond's 55 at 8K. Like these numbers. Denny McCarthy's 55 and he's 7,300, right? He's 77. Sorry.
I mean, if Rose is 40, I would definitely sprinkle a little bit on that. I mean, that's to me egregious in this field.
See, Fratelli's 66.
I mean, Corey Connors is
800 bucks. That's interesting.
Corey Connors is 33.
That's intriguing.
Well, no, it's just he's 33 and Justin Rose is 40. Oh, that doesn't make any sense to me.
No, that doesn't make it. Like Neiman at 40, if he plays, that's a nice
CT Pan at 70.
Yeah. See, Varner's higher up here. Varner and Domin are a little higher than their prices dictate, so that has my attention. This is what people you can do is look at odds compared to DraftKings pricing. Doesn't always work, but a lot of times there's a hidden gem in there somewhere.
Yeah,
like sure. You can find something for sure. So that's one reason why we kind of spitball some of these. It's not the end all be all, but you can find little nuggets here. Like Christoph Ventura is below a lot of 6K guys. That kind of makes me. Stu Sink's way below a lot of 6K guys. So the pricing this week is not usually it's much more in line than it is than normal. This is interesting.
This is weird. I feel like they got drunk after the Masters and said, whatever, who gives a fuck?
Yeah, these like looking at Bovada's odds compared to DK's price this week, there's a lot of weird ones.
Yeah.
This is interesting. So something to think about. I do like the Rose. I like Neiman as well at that price point. If you believe Jason Day can show up, 33 is really good in this field.
Yeah, 100%. Him and Rose both.
Yeah.
Those are pretty long odds for both those guys.
Big time. Like Day had a rough week last week, but he only missed the cut by like one or two strokes.
He played terrible on Friday or whatever, Friday, Saturday, whenever he finished.
Yeah, well, the restart, he's when he just trunk slammed. So
south like, quick.
He's interesting at 33. That's got my attention there. This is a fun week to dabble at some of these numbers. So something to definitely think about. But all right. We blew through it. The season's slowly winding down. We're going to get a break here pretty soon, Jesse. It's going to be wild. I didn't think we would. But
one
we're
more week.
There.
One more week, and then we'll have a –
Did you see there's actually – there's a tournament opposite the Hero this year, so you actually have a real tournament to play on DK with the Hero?
I did not.
Yeah, I looked it up the other day. Let me use the old Google here real quick. It's – I want to say it's the OHL Classic or something. I could be wrong.
The Hero is the dumbest tournament there is on DraftKings. Yeah. So
I can't even bring myself to do it. It's that bad. Tournament worthless. Schedule. It's working. I promise. We're getting. Is it? Oh, I think it's the Mayakoba. Mayakoba Golf Classic is the 3rd through the 6th.
That's the last tournament of this year, though. They don't even have on the schedule. They don't have
the Hero.
The Hero, they have the QBE shootout, which is
I think the QBE shootout is the same weekend as the Hero, so that's not playable on DK anyways. So
yeah,
cancel that fun idea. But so we get a week off next week,
and then we'll be back. You're right. Yeah, so next week is Thanksgiving.
Yep.
Okay.
So we get the week off for that. We'll be back for the Mayakoba, and then might get a few weeks off before the Century Tournament of Champions in early January, and it just keeps going from there. So.
We'll see.
We'll see what happens. But any final thoughts for the week, Jesse?
I don't, man. Good luck.
Sweet. Well, everybody, hope you have a good week. It should be fun. Join us in the free Slack chat if you have any questions. It's been pretty popping in there. Everyone's having a good time learning golf. If you don't know golf, literally there's half the room now that talks in there never played golf probably 4 or 5 months ago, and they love it. So come have a good time. You know, you sweat it out for a couple days for the same price as a 3-hour baseball game or in a football showdown. Like, it's the same deal. Get a couple days to enjoy it. It's fun. Check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. I'm on Twitter at BDNTrick. Good luck this week, and we'll catch you guys in a few weeks. Have a happy Thanksgiving. See you guys later. Show